This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us on this wonderful Saturday morning or wonderful weekend morning. And with us right now as we start our program is the co-host of New Beginnings, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Joe McKenzie can be found online at www.rippleconnects.com. His telephone number, the POTS line, plain old telephone system, is 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Excited to talk about how we can adapt to the new normal's job search plan. And I'm just thinking, you know, I think for folks who are looking for a short-term solution to dealing with the pandemic and the career aspect of it are in for, well, I think by now you've probably realized this is a long-term situation. So with the new reality of this new normal, Joe, and the impact on job search, what should the activity be like right now?
Well, you know, just through the limitations of physically meeting with people, it's a home-based job search. You know, think about 6 months ago when people were going to networking groups and listening to speakers, sitting down for coffee with people to network or their bench of advocates, having informational interviews in person. All that's gone away. And it may remain this way for the foreseeable future, or some things may never go back to the normal. I'm under the impression that those first rounds of interviews after a phone screen may be via Zoom or GoToMeeting or virtual here on out. So adapting to the new normal, that's the key word today. Adapting is going to have to be how people approach the new reality of a job search.
Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. He is our man on the job. He is the co-host of New Beginnings. And this week we're talking about adapting the new normal's job search. You mentioned Zoom, you mentioned GoToMeetings, you mentioned the non-in-person way that we're connecting these days. So how do job seekers adapt? Let's talk about adaptability. What are the key tenets of being adaptive in this new normal?
Well, just embracing the new reality. That's how you, if you want to find the job of your dreams, you're going to have to put the work in, but it's going to look different than it has been 6 months ago or 6 years ago. And that the adapting, just embracing it, knowing that people are being hired. There are sectors out there that are at peak capacity. When we start talking about, you know, the supply chain and warehousing, telecommunications, those types of companies and sectors are doing very well. They need to hire people. So companies are hiring, and there are industry sectors that are laying people off because of this permanent change and this change that's going around us. We have to adapt. We can't wait 6 months, 9 months, a year for it to go back to normal, because it may not. And so adapting is the way to approach it. I've worked with people and say, well, I can't meet with anybody. I can't go to groups and pass my business card around. I can't get these informational interviews in because of social distancing. Well, that's not adapting. That's throwing out the reality of the world. We can meet people virtually. We can go back to the plain old telephone system that you mentioned earlier. You can use that as a tool. You can have informational Zoom interviews via your computer. That's the reality. And we also have to be prepared for Zoom interviews, Freddie. I'm going to spend the next couple weeks talking about some of the things that we can do to prepare ourselves for Zoom interviews. But from 30,000 feet, become very comfortable with Zoom interviews and being set up and comfortable with the technology to use it to your advantage. That's adaptability. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I would agree. It's just so complex. And there are people I know who are listening who are in the 50 plus age range, And they're going, Joe McKenzie, I was hoping that you would say that this is a short-term fix. I'm not that proficient with the computer. I barely get around on my cell phone, my iPhone, my Android. And I'm having to have these Zoom meetings, and I've had to stave off a few of these because I just don't mm-hmm. know the technology. I'm just trying to figure out a way around this in adapting. Can you help me?
And I've heard much of the same. It's adapting, but really it's becoming more comfortable, more confident with your technology, using the tools that many of us didn't have 5, 10, 15 years ago. When we are able to conduct a Zoom interview via our laptop or our web cameras on our phones, we better become comfortable with that and accept that many employers are finding new efficiencies with lining up 5 Zoom interviews in a morning versus bringing in 5 people to their physical location. Those efficiencies are going to take hold. So we have to, I think the key word along with adaptability is becoming comfortable in your own skin, talking via a screen, making sure that you have the technology to your advantage. And I will do a program here in a couple of weeks about some of the technology upgrades that you may want to consider. So adaptability and comfort and becoming comfortable with the new normal is, in my opinion, the best way to play a job search today.
It sounds like you're saying in a very gentle way that you need to get on board because you could get left behind. This new normal is going to be our reality for much longer than what people realize. And I think there might, I also hear you saying that this could be our reality, even if things go back to the way they were, however that was. So with that as a backdrop, Joe McKenzie, what do you see for the coming year in regard to the new normal's job search?
Well, I think a wait and see attitude for many corporations in regards to, you know, the hiring, but from a person's job search, the ability to remain nimble and keep their ear to the ground on what they're seeing is going to be critical here. It's we can't control when things return to normal. All we can control is how we embrace it and get comfortable networking via Zoom. Get comfortable doing informational interviews, self-marketing yourself via the phone or email or, you know, using virtual meeting capabilities. That will help you get ready for those Zoom interviews, talking about how you would address the real job needs. What is your process for solving problems? That has to still occur. We can't put our job search activities on hold, waiting for it to return to normal, Freddie. We need to adapt to the new realities of that job search, get more comfortable, and use the tools at our disposal. Think of the benefits, Freddie. I no longer have to drive halfway across the Twin Cities to meet with someone when I can just click on a link. I'm more efficient. I don't have to worry about weather. All I have to do is make sure that my technology, my internet, my webcam, my microphone is, you know, up to grade so I can come across well. Well, think about driving halfway across the Twin Cities on a cold winter day to meet with somebody or do a job interview. There are good things that are going to occur from this. There's more efficiencies, and we just have to be open to it.
Well, everybody, Joe McKenzie talking about the job search, new normal technology and embracing it. If you were to list out again, you just started listing the benefits of the new normal. You mentioned the benefits of not having to drive across town. Maybe there are a few more. Maybe not having to put on that suit during the day. But are there some real clear benefits that you can list that are present right now in this new normal?
Well, I think the ability to be more efficient with your work. You might be able to reach more people if you're able to call them or set up a virtual meeting versus physically meeting with them. Many of us are working remotely. We might have more time. So, for example, if you want to meet with someone with your bench of advocates 6 months ago, you may have driven, met with them. They would have had to leave their house. You would leave their house. But now, hey, can I carve out a 20-minute virtual meeting with you? And they may be at their home. You might gain the advantage of having more of those meetings because of the efficiencies on both sides. And that's one thing that I haven't heard anybody talking about, that the ability to meet with more people to communicate your self-marketing plan to them, I think is one of the benefits of the new normal. And I honestly think that people can be more efficient and communicate to more people because of this change that's occurring. This is a shift. And I don't think it's going to go back to normal. I think there's going to be some semblance of these aspects that are going to be in the job search going forward for the next 5 to 10 years.
Well said. That's Joe McKenzie, and you do some fine work at Ripple Connects, Joe.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to rippleconnects.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
We have some very special guests in the studio to talk about a very serious disease that is affecting our community, Alzheimer's disease. Please welcome Joan and Dwight Halliburton. This husband and wife duo are owners of Step with Two Studios. Also, Lear Chalberg, she is the senior program manager at the Alzheimer's Association in Minneapolis. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope I got your last name right, Leah.
Yeah, looks good.
Oh, my goodness. Look at me. Well, good morning. Thank you so much for stopping by to talk about this disease that we definitely need to discuss more of. Let's start with you, Leah. What is the stats on Alzheimer's disease just in general?
Yeah, well, in general, we just got out with our facts and figures report. And actually, that report was really focused on Alzheimer's and how it's diagnosed in a primary care setting, but overall in the U.S., there are about 5 million people who are living with the disease.
Wow.
And that's only going up, obviously. And the impact it's having on our healthcare system is pretty substantial. And if we don't do anything about it to make sure communities who are, I would say, unjustly impacted by the disease, mm-hmm. as well as just kind of everyone, if nothing is done by 2050, it's going to cost the healthcare system $1.1 trillion. It's just a significant public health issue at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there any way to, let's backtrack a little bit. What are some of the signs and symptoms? Maybe some of the listeners right now are like, you know, I'm forgetting things. I'm having trouble remembering things. Are there signs and symptoms that you can look at early to try to get, to start getting treated for it sooner than later?
Yes, definitely. There are about 10 warning signs that we talk about and trying to educate people on and really try to differentiate between, you know, there is healthy, normal aging. Our brains are going to age and change. And then there is aging that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the major issues with not getting a diagnosis in time is a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm just, you know, being forgetful. I'm just repeating things just because I'm getting old. When
right.
in fact, you know, if you are, you know, repeating a story or the same sentence within about a 5-minute range, and if you don't realize it, that is not normal aging. That's pretty significant. So if you're noticing that in your loved ones, instead of brushing it off and thinking, oh, you know, they'll get over it, just maybe go in to your primary care provider and get it checked out. That could be one. Another is forgetting, particularly with short-term memory. Mm-hmm. If you were told something a few hours ago and it has completely gone from your mind.
Mm.
And especially if you don't realize it
right.
and people are noticing that, that's also not normal.
Mm-hmm.
What is normal is, you know, we all forget stuff. And
right.
so if we forget it, but then maybe later in the day or the next day we remember it, that's very normal aging and isn't to be concerning.
Is there an age that is more susceptible to start getting some of these symptoms?
Yeah. I mean, we usually put the marker around 65. You know, once you hit 65, you're chances of developing Alzheimer's or any kind of dementia really increases substantially every 5 years.
For sure. Lear, I'm going to come back to you on the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk to Joan and Dwight Halliburton. You both have a really strong connection to this disease. Joan, let's start with you. What is your direct connection with Alzheimer's disease?
My father passed away from Alzheimer's disease. He was diagnosed really young. So I'm listening to Leah say 65. He was about 59.
Mm.
Yeah, he was diagnosed really early and lived with the disease for 9 years before he passed away.
What are some of the challenges that you had to go through with your dad with the disease before his passing?
Well, like any daughter, you know, your father, generally speaking, is one of your strongest male role models and your first male role model.
Right.
So, you know, at that point in life where you're continuing to rely on him, you know, I was graduating from college and then law school, and, you know, and all of a sudden there were these significant changes. And he lived in a different city, so when you go and visit, you know, sporadically, once, twice, three times a year, the changes show up a little more quickly than living with that person day to day. So, you know, it was very sad, and it's still very sad when I think about it now to see that strong role model, you know, turn into basically a shell of himself and at some points in time not even recognize you as his daughter.
Mm. And Dwight, how about you? What is your direct connection with the disease as well?
My mother passed away from it, but there's a twist with me. Not only was I there to see it happen, but I happened to be the caretaker.
Mm.
So not only, I'm speaking from a caretaker point of view as well. So it's,
right.
it's really challenging. The only thing I can really just stress is that you need the support of the family
mm-hmm.
as well as the community, because it can be told to the mind. You start looking at responsibility. You think it's all your fault.
Right.
And sometimes you need to reach out and say, I need help.
Right.
And I think that's probably the most important thing about it.
Aside from those things, to the listeners right now that's listening, maybe there are some caretakers out there listening that are caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's. What is some of the advice that you would give to someone who's in that position right now?
Well, same thing. It's just a matter of having family and having community. Whether it's the church or just reaching out. And if you have family members, you have to let them know, hey, we need to balance this. We all right. need to be part of this team, because if one person take the responsibility of it, it's you're going to have some problems.
Absolutely. Leah, let's go back to you on the difference or some of the, how do you determine the difference between Alzheimer's disease and dementia for those who have no idea what's the difference between the two?
So dementia is kind of the umbrella term for actually over 100 different kinds of dementias. Mm-hmm. And so Alzheimer's is one of those. Other common ones are Lewy body dementia, frontotemporal dementia, vascular dementia, and a mixed dementia, usually of the two of those. Mm-hmm. And the difference between Alzheimer's and the other dementias is that the early symptoms are really around short-term memory. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have Lewy body dementia, some of the early symptoms are there's memory, but it's also cognitive processing, like folks who used to be able to multitask can't anymore, as well as some dream and sleep disturbance and some maybe Parkinson's symptoms. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, with other dementias, there's memory involved, but it's not kind of the primary or the most prominent symptom. So if you're looking at short-term memory, and that's really the big issue, you're probably looking at Alzheimer's disease.
Leah, let's get final thoughts on from you. How can people find out more information on Alzheimer's and dementia?
So we have two really awesome resources. One is our 24/7 helpline. Mm-hmm. It is 1-800-272-3900. And it is staffed with really well-trained folks in dementia care, so literally any time of the day or night, and they can help you with any memory, cognitive function-related question.
Wow.
So if it's, you know, 2 a.m. and you're, you know, just can't sleep because you're really stressed out because you're caregiving, or, you know, you just need some help, 1-800-272-3900, and they can help you think through and help you get help. I mean, I really appreciate, Dwight, your comment on you need to reach out and get help, because there is nothing to be ashamed of having dementia. There's so much stigma out there, you know, but it's really, it's just like having a broken arm. It's a disability, and you learn to live with it and adapt to it as it changes. And so the only way to live well and adapt and be resilient is to reach out and to get that help and to talk to people. So the helpline is one way. And then our website is really awesome. It's alz.org. And it has any bit of information you want about Alzheimer's, about dementia. I will say, it because it's so substantial, using the search bar, it will help you get around probably the most efficiently. So get help. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a tough disease, and it's going to beat everybody down. And so the more you can have people around you, the less you're going to get beat down by it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Leah. And Dwight, any final thoughts to the listeners on Alzheimer's disease?
I think it's just a matter of just having support and just think of it being as a community, as a family problem,
right,
and not just an individual.
All right. And Joan, final thoughts?
Well, I think that the reason that dancing is so important, right, and Leah can allude to this as well, but I know that it will increase brain function and reduce the onset of Alzheimer's in some patients.
All right. For more information on Alzheimer's disease, 1-800-272-3900, a 24-hour helpline that can help you out, or go to alz.org. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Dwight. Thank you, Leah.
Thanks, Chantel.
Thanks.
Sister Spokesman.
Hey, ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities, and it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman!
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Happy weekend, everyone. Happy weekend to you. It's good to be with you this weekend and this morning. And we wake up to Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. She's the founder. WestMetroHypnosis.com is a website, 952-222-3975. And Kelly, would you refresh my memory? How long has West Metro Hypnosis been in existence?
Oh, I started back in May of 2015. So I've surpassed that mark that is so important in the life of a small business.
Wow. Congratulations on that. And you've helped a lot of people and you provided them with the mental capacity to do and call forth from their own internal systems, the ability to do whatever it is in their mind. And we're talking about knowledge being power. How does that show up when we talk about just an individual's capacity?
Well, I love that intro, and I don't think we could have scripted it any better than just what showed up out of your mouth. So I thank you for that. And one of the things that I do is really meet people where they're at. And one of the ways that I really love to spend my time are with clients who are already have achieved a certain level of success and they want to go to that next level, because in nature, we see that there's always something else. There's always that next level to become. Just like an acorn doesn't always stay an acorn. It is always becoming this majestic oak in whatever phase it is in. And successful people don't remain at that certain level of success. They continue onward because they want to see what else they can do, what else they can become. And so, just as you mentioned, knowledge is power. And that's really a fundamental necessity when you're taking yourself to that next level. It's having the understanding that there's only a missing piece of information. And once you get that new piece of information, whether it's a new insight, a new perspective, a deeper understanding of self, you can start to uncover that next layer of success. And I think this is so fundamentally important for people to understand that information, knowledge, is power. It doesn't automatically equate into success, though. Last week, we talked about the freedom to change our mind. And we really have to be willing to use that knowledge, to use that into information, and to bring it back to ourselves and wonder how we can implement this knowledge, this wisdom, this information in taking ourselves to the next level, because we, in essence, are the only thing that we can control. Our actions, our words, our thoughts, our feelings. And so a lot of what I do with people who are already successful is deepen their awareness of self-awareness, deepen their understanding of self-awareness, and then always bring it back to self-management. And that's what keeps success building upon success. So what is the limit of success? I don't know, but I always know that there's a next level to take ourselves to help someone discover about themselves, and knowledge really is power.
That's going to help a lot of people, knowing that there is always another level. You're not at the end, because if you're not at the end, you're not there yet.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? that you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us this weekend. And with me right now, we turn our attention to our major sponsor for New Beginnings, AARP Minnesota, with Real Possibilities. And we're talking now with the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Jay Hapala. And Jay, welcome back to the program. Glad to have you this morning.
Hey, thanks, Freddie. Good to be with you.
Glad you're with us. And let's talk a little bit about scams and frauds during COVID-19. I know we've talked about this before, but it seems as if every time we get together, our information is dated because something new happens.
That's for sure. And of course, the pandemic keeps on keeping on, and the scammers are doing what they always do, and that is to use current events and the headlines to take advantage of people and steal their money. Our Fraud Watch call center has been taking calls about all kinds of coronavirus scams and everything under the sun.
Wow. So let's get an update on that. Let's talk about the psychological aspect of these types of scams and the impact that it has on the individuals.
Yeah. The scammers are just experts at using mind games to trick us and to victimize people. You know, right now, a lot of people are lonely, they're isolated, and so the scammers might start off as a friendly voice, just someone to talk to. But meanwhile, they're gathering information and they're gaining their victims' confidence, and before long, it might turn into a financial scam.
Well, so how can you discern what's really going on the other end of that line or the other end of an email?
Yeah, people really right now especially have to start by being skeptical. You know, the scammers are calling people. Here's another mind game that they play. They will use a position of authority or an official sounding source to gain someone's trust, to gain their victim's trust. They might pretend to be from the CDC, the IRS, or even the local electric company just to gain people's confidence. They're using mind tricks that would relieve a person's anxieties. If someone is, you know, having trouble with work, well, maybe they lost their job. Well, don't worry, because a scammer is going to be calling with a job offer before long. Or if people are worried about getting sick, then the scammers are tricking people with fake cures and tests. But we just got to be skeptical and then verify the sources. So if someone calls and they say they're from the government, there has to be a way that you and I can verify the source, and that would be to look up the proper phone number and or the proper website and make that contact for yourself.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Jay Hapala, who is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. Can you talk a little bit about online shopping scams and maybe online selling scams involving vehicles and pets and so on?
Yeah, thanks, Freddie. That's an important one I wanted to get out to your listeners. Right now, we've been seeing a big increase in peer-to-peer sales scams. So when I say peer-to-peer, that would be like if you or I were selling our old car on the internet and trying to find a buyer. But scammers are out there posting pictures and making a post online that says they have a car for sale. But in reality, their car doesn't exist, and they're just hoping that someone will be willing to buy it sight unseen and send money. And then, of course, the victim never receives the automobile or the other piece of equipment that they bought online. So the way to be sure, and I know it's hard in the pandemic because people don't want to go visit some stranger about buying a car and come into physical contact with some people they don't know, but really it is very risky to be buying things off the internet that you haven't seen, especially with big purchases like a vehicle or other big kinds of equipment that people buy online.
So I would imagine the same thing would apply to pets and other things that you might find online.
Oh yeah, you can imagine the same kind of situation. People, well, you want to buy a dog or you want to buy a new pet. And again, with the pandemic and social distancing, people might be tempted to put a down payment on a pet in order to, you know, the scammers will say, well, if you, I have a lot of interested buyers, but if you will send me $500 right now, then I'll make sure you're the one who gets the pick of the litter. Mm. And they put that time pressure on their victim. But, and then the source of payment or the payment process is something to focus on to avoid becoming a victim. You know, the scammers want to get paid with gift cards and wire transfers, but the best advice is that, you know, if you're going to buy a pet online or a vehicle online, go see it with your own eyes. Do come into safe contact with the buyer so that you know who you're dealing with, and then pay, you know, with cash or pay with perhaps like a online payment processor like PayPal.
Makes sense. Jay Heppala with us from AARP Twin Cities. Is there a telephone number that you can leave with our listeners in case they have questions about the information that you shared this morning?
Yep. If anyone who's been victimized, or if you have questions and want to verify whether something is a scam, it is 877-908-3360.
All right. Jay, I can't thank you enough for being with us and helping us to keep our guard up during this pandemic. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
And New Beginnings continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities. Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You are listening to New Beginnings. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you're here with us this weekend. And I wanted to share some information with you about science as it relates to being kind. There's research that shows that acts of kindness make us feel healthier. Kindness is also a key to how we evolved and survived as a species, according to the University of Oxford anthropologist Oliver Curry. He says, kindness is much older than religion, and it seems to be universal. When psychologists lumped values into 10 categories and asked people what was more important, benevolence or kindness comes out on top, beating every other category. Having an exciting life, creativity, ambition, tradition, security, obedience, seeking social justice, and seeking power, that according to the University of London psychologist Annette Bardi. When it comes to a species survival, kindness pays. Friendliness pays, says Duke University evolutionary anthropologist Brian Hare. More isolated groups are more likely to feel threatened by others, and they are more likely to morally exclude and dehumanize, and that opens the door to cruelty. Our bodies aren't just programmed to be nice. They reward us for being nice, scientists say. Doing kindness makes you happier, and being happier makes you do kind acts. That according to labor economist Richard Layard. University of California Riverside psychology professor Sonia Lombruski has repeatedly found that people feel better when they are kind to others. She says a study of people with multiple sclerosis, for example, found that they felt better physically when they're helping others. She also found that in people doing more acts of kindness, that the genes that trigger inflammation were turned down more than in people who don't. And she says in upcoming studies, she found more antiviral genes in people who performed acts of kindness. The question is, are acts of kindness more powerful? And we believe the answer is yes. What about you? Are you kind? Are you showing acts of kindness? Are you sending thank you notes? Are you polite? Are you more concerned about others, and in some cases, than you are about yourself? It's this kind of behavior that can spell the difference in our health, in our mental well-being, and many, many other aspects of just the human existence. I would challenge all of us to take time this week, the next week, to create and keep a kindness journal. What are the acts of kindness that you have done for somebody else? What are the acts of kindness that you've witnessed? And see how that makes you feel. So write down the acts of kindness. Next to that, chart how it made you feel. A way to validate that these activities have some relevance is to keep a journal. So keep that journal for the next week of the act of kindness and how it made you feel. And if you like, you can send me a note at Freddie Bell or 888-639-9738. And I'd love to hear from you about the impact that is having on your life when you're kind to others. Being kind is real. Acts of benevolence are real, and they can have a profound impact on your life. This is Freddie Bell, and I hope you'll take that act of kindness. That number again is 888-639-9738. I hope you'll take me up on this idea of random acts of kindness. We'll be right back. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
This candle was in our family home from the time I was just about 5 years old. My mother always liked it. It was a housewarming gift when our home was built. And she loved it because, you know, the pineapple is symbolic of hospitality and welcome. And that was really the intention of her home. She and my father loved entertaining, and she always wanted people to feel welcome in our home, given everything they needed to be comfortable and enjoy their time. She had a collection of birds, porcelain birds she enjoyed, collections from her travels like this Balik container from Ireland. And this happened to be the last pattern of china she bought late in life. I have her picture down here. She was May Queen of her college in 1935, a long time ago. And then a little poem for Mother that I've placed beside it. You see, when we put together mementos like this, remembrances, and we light a candle, which is symbolic of, I am putting my attention on these items that they may be filled with my memories and what's important to my heart concerning my mother. I said I'd mention this orange suit. I bought this so that I could wear my mother's favorite color on Mother's Day. Some would call it orange. One of my friends this morning said, oh, you're sun-kissed like the oranges. But my mother said, don't say orange. Call it bittersweet. She thought that was much more refined. So I want us to take a moment to give attention to our mothers, wherever they may be, because our gift of attention is the greatest gift we can give to anyone, to appreciate them, to give them our time and our presence. But especially we want to do this on Mother's Day, whether your mother is near you or whether she is at a distance, whether she is alive or has passed on as my mother has, we can always enter their presence in mind and heart. We can use items like I have collected here as containers to pour our abundant memories and love into these items that we associate with Mother. So as we look at these sacred objects, perhaps you did collect some around your computer or television this morning. These are containers, and they can be filled with something very precious and valuable, like the widow's oil. We fill them with our rich memories, and you can give them attention today on Mother's Day and perhaps through this coming week or even longer. Let those memories well up within you as inner richness of feeling and a light in your mind. Now, we probably won't sell these valuable memories, but they can sustain us. And perhaps with creativity, some of you might write these memories down or do something with them creative that could become a product or an experience to sell. Wow, that's creativity at work. So we thank you, God, for those wonderful individuals who have nurtured us through our life and have journeyed with us on our path of life. So I would like to close now at this time by just spending a few moments with you as we turn within. I invite you to allow the story we've shared in the widow's oil to unfold in your mind and heart as we just briefly move through these steps that I illustrated. I invite you to close your eyes and to begin to concentrate on the potential, inner ideas, skills, intentions that you hold in your soul. They are containers themselves of value. And we can remember Mother always pours a nonstop flow of love for her children. The flow only stops when we no longer ask for the support, the encouragement, the love that we need for strength, courage, and confidence. What do you need now to sustain you at this point in your life? Are you receptive, ready to receive the increase that always comes from our spiritual source? Anyone who has prospered in this outer world, who experiences abundance, satisfaction, well-being, knows that it always begins with a powerful idea. Like the widow, finding something valuable in the house of your mind. To increase your receptivity, increase your praise and thanksgiving. Be grateful for what you have now. Just as Jesus looked to the source and gave thanks for the 5 loaves and few fishes that were available, and the miraculous increase followed, he had enough to feed a multitude. You see, he didn't dwell on lack or limitation. He didn't dwell on, well, I've lost my income. I've lost my job. I don't know what to do. He gave thanks for what valuable idea was present. We all have skills and gifts within that we can praise, we can appreciate, and we can put to use. What can you give thanks for now? Loving relationships, loyal friends, helpful neighbors, creative people in your workplace or community. What skills do you have already that can be praised and appreciated into increased activity? Do you have an increase in free time to practice these skills for your benefit and to benefit others? So let us gently close this time of visualization and inner concentration with our daily word affirmation for today. I honor all mothers and am grateful for their love. A love and a powerful faith in all her children that never ceases to flow if we are but willing and prepared to receive.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.